Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, there's two problem sets. There's one that we want to talk about, which is how to make a good adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
That is, that argument and that whole discussion has a prerequisite that it be a good movie, a good show first.
Yes.
Then is it a good adaptation?
That's a great point.
It first has to be good. That's honestly the biggest crime of all of these adaptations. The set can look pretty. The characters can be interesting. The plot can be but passable. But the dialogue is so abysmal that it makes you hate everyone. It makes you hate the entire process, and you want to burn it to the ground.
20 minutes later.
Our Lord God.
What a transition.
Our... from...
Welcome back, everybody, to another Two to Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
And I'm the other host, Richard.
And today we are talking about adaptations. What makes a great adaptation? And the thing that inspired this is, Rich, you and I have spent a little bit of time together off the podcast.
Well, a little time apart. Little absence makes the heart grow fonder.
And then together, because we just watched the third episode.
We did spend our contractually allotted amount of time.
Together. 1 hour.
1 hour.
An episode per week. We're starting to watch the show Shogun, for those of you unfamiliar. We're not going to go into spoilers for Shogun. This is what inspired the whole conversation. And specifically, Shogun is an adaptation of a book we have not read.
Yeah.
And we're loving Shogun. It's a fun-ass show. And for those at
home... Every episode's been better than the last so far.
It's great.
We're on episode 3, by the way.
We are on episode 3. And how would you pitch the show to someone who hasn't seen it yet?
You want Japanese Game of Thrones?
Watch Shogun.
It's kind of that.
And if you want to...
I don't think... That's... Yeah.
That's an apt description.
I'm not that wrong. I guess it's a less complex... Game of Thrones.
I know you hear everywhere out there, everyone compares things to Game of Thrones, but actually,
there's actually a throne and several people vying.
Political intrigue, vying a lot of death and violence, and whores.
And whores. Lots of whores and suicide. More suicide than whores, in all honesty.
There's actually no whores. I don't think there's a
single. There's one.
There's, yeah. I should, in the first I don't episode. Know why, I don't know why I said it with an S. That was wrong of me to say. I was just thinking.
It's one, and it's lots of implied. It's implied.
It's implied. There's a lot. Yes. So there's a lot of that vulgarity, sex, violence, has those elements to it. And if you guys want to watch Shogun with us, we are, thanks to our sponsor, Fable, you can check the link up here or in the description below where we're watching an episode every Friday, and we have a little chat group on the club. You can see it in the link below and join us. We're watching it every week.
Watch party every Friday. We're going to be chatting with you about the episode. It's a lot of fun.
So join us on Fable, and this whole show inspired this episode as well, where we're talking about adaptations. Yep. What makes them great? And one thing with us is we usually like to read the book before watching the show or the film.
Shocker.
Shocker, right?
Book channel likes to read the books first.
Man with glasses and books behind him is a book reader.
Who'd have thought it?
Who thought that one over? So this is just a true statement. But how true is it is what we're going to go over and what makes a great adaptation. But reading the book before watching any adaptation of it, I have a feeling, at least me deep down, it somewhat, maybe this says something more about me, somewhat makes the adaptation itself less enjoyable sometimes, just because you set a standard in your head of what is in your head, like, oh, this is what it is to me. Yeah. And then it's very, very hard for that adaptation to come true with what your expectations are and what you've created in your head.
Oh, 100%. Oh, 9.75 times out of 10.
Just give me 100 sometimes.
No.
Okay.
Because sometimes an adaptation maybe improves upon it.
Yeah.
I would... Oh, there's a couple examples, but anyway. Overall, books are better than movies. There, I said it. I'm sorry.
Ooh, wow.
Books are better.
Wow.
Who... controversial.
Now, one where we disagree is I like the Lord of the Rings movies better than the books.
You're wrong on that one. Books are better.
I don't think you've seen Aragorn's face like I have.
It's
I mean,
a beautiful Vigo... man. But here's the wonderful thing about that is I can watch the movie and then now I get to see his face in my mind when I read the books.
And you get to hear Gandalf Ian McClellan's
voice. Oh, no. I get all the benefits and none of the detractors. Detractors being the Two Towers movie.
Oh, you're going to get flamed for that one. People love the Two Towers.
It's by far the weakest movie. By far. There is now a more official watch order for Lord of the Rings. It's Extended Edition, Fellowship, Standard Edition, Two Towers, then Extended Edition, Return of the
King.
You
hate Two Towers that much.
Oh, it needs to be Standard Edition only. Extended makes the movies actually worse.
Comment down below your Lord of the Rings order. For me personally, depends on the day you ask me, but goes 1-3-2. Sometimes. Sometimes I'll put 3 first, but I'll go 1-3-2.
I agree with your order. I'm just saying the Extended Edition makes the other two films better and more enjoyable. The second makes it worse.
But you love all three movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, making sure. Because to me, all three movies are a 10 out of 10, but movies 1 and 3 just have a bolder 10 font. And then the Two Towers is just an italics 10 out of 10. That's what I think of the movies.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah. I still like all the books better. But that's fine. We'll move on.
But as book reader, this is a whole thing where you saw the movies before you read the books, which was...
Yeah.
A different order than we usually do. Where, how do you think that works with expectations for an adaptation where book readers, we read something, we go into it, and you're saying 9.75 times out of 10, it's not going to live up to it. Now, I know we have seen a lot of horrific fantasy and sci-fi adaptations recently. A lot of really bad ones. So it's great
looking
when there's...
You, Witcher.
Hey, that's great when we see Shogun, which isn't fantasy. It's more historical fiction, and it's badass. We really enjoy it, and we'll pitch it even more of why you should watch it and watch it with us. But a show like Shogun versus the fantasy genre has had a tough time adapting.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's us having super high expectations. We're just asking for the...
Oh, no, I'm not even... We're at that point. Okay, there's two problem sets. There's one that we want to talk about, which is how to make a good adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
That is... That argument and that whole discussion has a prerequisite that it be a good movie, a good show first.
Yes.
Then is it a good adaptation?
That's a great point.
It first has to be good.
That's a great point. There is a difference between a good adaptation and a good movie.
100%.
That is a big difference.
Hollywood's been having trouble making good fantasy, like at just movies and shows. Just make it good.
I got a great example.
Beyond that needs to be...
Game of Thrones season 6. There's no source material for season 6. Yeah. George hasn't written past then. George is never going to write past then. But no. Season 6 of Game of Thrones is one of the best seasons of Game of Thrones to me. But there's no source material. It's just great season.
Yeah.
But then season 8 of Game of Thrones is horrific, and there's also no source material. So you got to be a good season, a good movie, before you're even a good adaptation.
100%. And
I like the way you put that, Rich.
There's plenty of stuff like this, so... I'll go off with The Martian. I read the book first, and then the next day, watched the movie.
Yeah.
And if you haven't read the book and you watched the movie, I'm sure you really liked the movie. I think it's a good movie. It actually is good.
You wouldn't say great movie.
I wouldn't say great.
I watched the movie and a lot of friends. Like, this is known as if you haven't seen The Martian, public opinion is really great movie. But to you, it's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
And I think it's an okay to poor adaptation. Like it does enough. It's not a bad adaptation, but it's mostly a disappointing adaptation for me. But as a film, it's good. And so I'm struggling with those two things in mind.
Mm.
So reading the book to me hurt my experience of the movie. And I'm wondering, am I going to have a similar thing with the show? If Shogun continues being good and we watch
Is it 10 or 8?
I think it's 8. If we watch all 8 episodes, and it's actually good, it's a good season of television all the way through, am I ever going to have a more negative opinion about the books? It's because it happens all the time, the reverse of I read the book, watch the movie, and now I think of the movie or TV show worse.
I see what you mean.
Am I going to think that same way about the book, or is the book always just going to kind of supersede?
You know, I think here's the aspect of when you make a really good adaptation. So for me, you saw The Martian after you read the book, right?
Yeah.
After. So I saw The Martian, I didn't read the book yet, but Lord of the Rings would be a good example where I saw the movies before I read the books. But when you have such a phenomenal adaptation, or just a phenomenal movie, take away, maybe it destroyed the source material, but just the movie was incredible. And yeah. Then you go to read the books. The movies to me are my first introduction to Middle Earth. And it did it so well that I still think of that more fondly than I do the books. I wish I don't know, another world I would maybe like the books better if I read those first. But I think with Shogun or with anything that we watch, if it is just really good material, if it's just great TV or great movie, and then you read the adaptation, there won't be as poor of a taste because you enjoyed your experience regardless of it going off source material. Get what I mean? Can you get away with just changing a lot if it's just great?
I think that's what, to me, Lord of the Rings does perfectly. It does change the tone of the entire series, where the movies are an action adventure and the books are an adventure. Two very different things. Yes, there's action in the books, but it's not the highlight. With the movie, it is. There's some things where Aragorn in the books is more deliberately a background character, someone to aspire to. He's a side character deliberately because he's a paragon. In the movies, he actually has a lesson to learn because he's a main character. You can't have your paragon be your main character, because then what are they there to learn? Bunch of those little things that happen. So very different, but ultimately good on its own. And so we're getting into, like, I just want to talk about quickly before any of this, because it reminds me of what Shogun is doing And we're watching some of these characters. I think the characters are fine. They're good characters. But they're not incredibly complex or particularly compelling on their own. Like, if you wrote down their character type, the one thing I like about it is it actually has good dialogue. This is something that just boggles my mind when dealing with adaptations. Typically, you're dealing with a book, meaning there's dialogue in the fucking book. Why do Hollywood writers for some reason think, you know, instead of taking the dialogue from the book, what if I just write new dialogue
that is worse,
vastly worse? They may be decent characters, but they say the stupidest things, and they look so bad. It looks like an amateur play. That's honestly the biggest crime of all of these adaptations. The set can look pretty, the characters can be interesting, the plot can be but passable, but the dialogue is so abysmal that it makes you hate everyone. It makes you hate the entire process, and you want to burn it to the ground. Shogun seems to actually get good dialogue. I'm sorry. My passion is coming through with Wheel of Time. And that travesty of whoever the fuck decided to write that shit. Oh, God. They have books to pull the words from. Why? Every other person learned, like, just do your job lazier. Just pull the book, just take the words and put it on the page. Sorry. I think it's a very simple problem. Like, we could talk about this for an hour and talk about the nuances. Actually make the dialogue passable.
I agree. And if I disagreed, I wouldn't say it because you'd kill me right now. So I agree. And dialogue is a big part.
Oh, God.
So the biggest thing that frustrates you is you have source material to pull from.
You have lines. You have dialogue to literally pull from. And you go, yeah, why? Why do that? Why make my job easier and better?
So with something like Shogun, you appreciate that the dialogue's actually there. And one big thing with TV, too, it's tense. there's conflict and there's actual drama and gravitas to it. It's a show that has it surprisingly had funny bits as well. So it's it's both fun, but also the plot is what's more interesting than the characters themselves. And I'm curious because if we ever read the book of the adaptation, the book that is being adapted into Shogun, I'm curious how that translates. So we're just talking about we like it as a show, but we read the book, maybe it's a totally different thing.
It could be. If you were to guess, just stab in the dark of just going from the show, do you think the books will be character-focused or plot-focused?
I think plot.
Think so?
Just based on the show being more plot-oriented, I think it would be the case because there's also a lot of characters we're being introduced to. And it gives me that maybe it's an opinion about historical fiction where you have a lot of characters and the focus is just on the world and the plot and the conflicts. Mm-hmm. You can pull that off really well. Oh my gosh, George R. R. Martin does not Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, where all the characters, you have all these times with them. But when you have a lot of moving pieces in a world, it's hard to get super focused on all the individuals, and it's more so just the factions.
Sure.
So that's my guess. What would you guess?
I think you're right. It's going to be more plot focused. Of course, we'll have more time with the characters. So I'm assuming Toranaga and Blackthorn are going to be in the book. I'm assuming. And we're going to have a bit more backstory in Blackthorn where we're going to sympathize with him a bit more. Same thing with Toranaga. But I think there's probably going to be more factions, if I'm going to guess from the book. And so it's going to be a lot more complex than the show is portraying.
Well, let's say then we read the book and it's just, it's worse than the show. What do you think? In general, with Shogun, with any type of adaptation, what makes an adaptation good? What are the elements? What are the ingredients you need to make it work? I know pulling the dialogue, for example, from real time, that's something for you. But what's a rule of thumb? What do you think makes something work or makes something bad TV?
I mean, a good adaptation gets across the same message and similar enjoyment in a new medium. That's effectively it. I think you can actually change a lot for an adaptation because it has to. There's adaptations out there that have changed completely. So, okay. Maybe reaching a little further. I'm reaching a little bit.
Okay.
But I think The Wiz is a great adaptation of The Wizard of Oz. Unironically, I like The Wiz more than The Wizard of Oz. And it's an adaptation. It takes completely different setting, completely different musical numbers. It takes a lot of liberties.
Yeah.
And yet gets across the same kind of message and same enjoyment, if not more so, than the original. So I think that's a good adaptation, even though it's not a one-to-one
changes
at all.
Almost everything.
It changes everything.
But maybe it doesn't change the heart.
Yeah. The main thing is you still have to recognize it as what it was, but still enjoy it as much. So if you make a carbon copy, a big point for me is I don't want to watch a one-to-one adaptation thing for a lot of stuff because I have the original. Why watch a carbon copy of a thing? Like, that's eh. So I like a little
really
bit of
it doesn't
change.
Translate too well either because think of Avatar The Last Airbender, not the movie, but the show that came out.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of... it's very similar. They made a lot of changes, don't get me wrong, but you could just watch the scenes there in a cooler fashion in the cartoon.
Yeah.
The cartoon's just better in every way, like significantly. Well,
the one thing that almost every visual adaptation is promising you is, hey, remember that book you read that you really liked those scenes? Wouldn't it be cool to actually see them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's why there's a challenge of it's already been, you're doing an adaptation of something visual
you've
into
already
another
seen,
visual medium,
and it doesn't help that the original just looks cooler.
Yeah,
so you provide me nothing if the TV show is just worse plot, worse characters, and visually isn't as cool as the cartoon, which is just kick-ass visuals. Yeah,
and maybe this is something to think about: is the visual standards of Hollywood right now of how easy it is to see massive explosions and these gorgeous set pieces that look like a fairy tale. They look like fantasy.
Yeah.
We get to see visual spectacle all the time. So now taking my favorite book and making it a visual spectacle is not as special as it really used to be.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's a part of it. A cool battle scene in a book. Oh, I'd love to see that on screen. But I've seen lots of battle scenes on TV. And so, okay, it's not as special anymore. And especially if, okay, you give me the visual, but you subtracted all the cool dialogue and you subtracted the interesting characters and you subtracted, at some point, these scales don't balance. Kind of get what I mean?
I get what you mean. And there's those special moments where you have on the screen that they just, the visuals, the sound, everything just works perfectly, which mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings would be a complete failure without the music. Take away that music. Yeah. I mean, still, you have phenomenal actors, and it was Peter Jackson put so much love and care into this. But take away the music, and it completely changes what a masterpiece this was. Lord of the Rings worked for so many reasons. The adaptation is literally perfect soundtrack, perfect music, perfect direction, perfect actors and actresses, perfect. Everything went right. Perfect set design. I mean,
Elijah Wood.
Stop with your negative Nancy. You know what? You can't shame Wheel of Time and then also shame Lord of the Rings in the same episode. You know what?
I can do both.
No.
I can do two things.
You can do two things, but just as long as you compare and go Elijah Wood or just Lord of the Rings, even the worst thing, the thing you hate the most in the Lord of the Rings adaptation doesn't even come close to the peak of the Wheel of Time adaptation.
That is true.
You get what I'm saying?
That is valid.
I just want you to clarify.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Because
nothing Elijah Wood has done has come even close to basically Roseman Pike.
Blandell Boar. Actually, I just came up with that. That's pretty good. Bland L. Boar. I'm pretty happy with that. I'm going to use that in a lot of future episodes.
but no, Roseman Pike's the best part of the Wheel of Time TV show, and it's not that great. So, yeah, she doesn't come close to Elijah Wood. I get you.
What were we even talking about? How'd you get me off this Elijah Wood track?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to be negative about something.
Let's be a little positive, okay? Sure. Lord of the Rings, the adaptation, we're talking about the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And how that works so well with the adaptation. So sometimes that can really surprise you and make it immaculate. But a lot of what book readers are asking for, and I don't think it's too much of an ask, like you were going to that Wheel of Time rant, is keep the heart of the story.
What is the heart of a story?
Because when we're talking about going from book to screen or just any adaptation in general, three things are always happening. You have one of three choices when it comes to the material. Either change, so subtract something, get rid of something from book to movie, add additional scenes, or change what was in there. So you have three options. And all those things, whether you're taking something out of the book, you're adding something that's not in there, which needs to happen as well, or you're changing something in the book so it works with the new medium. All of that, trying to keep the heart of the story. And the heart of the story, so Lord of the Rings is your prime example, is messages, themes, and that the feeling you got with keeping the soul of the world, or the soul of, that soul can be different for every story. So when you look at Middle Earth, Peter Jackson took what Tolkien was doing, and I think this is the key to what the soul of the story is Peter Jackson wasn't telling his story. Peter Jackson was telling Tolkien's story the best that he could in a visual medium. Yeah. That was always the thing. He was going, hey, this is not my book. I am the steward. I am not its king. Just like Denethor. He is the steward. A poor steward he was, but
a poor one.
A poor one. But if you are the steward of whoever wrote this, I think the very first thing you need to keep the soul of a story, that every adaptation, all great adaptations need this, is you need to have actual heart and care about the story. And that comes with, think of this. We did this in an episode way back, I think like episode 7, and I still hold this opinion now, where if you're adapting anything at all, and we're the viewer, they're the director, they're the creator, and we are committing a couple hours of our time into watching this, and we want to care. Think of it as a 2-hour marriage where both parties are going in, and the marriage is never going to work if one of the sides, the creator side, never had any interest in the source material to begin with. From the get-go, they were not involved. They were not caring. They were going to dip out of this marriage real quick. They were going for divorce lawyers before it even set up.
The Witcher TV show. All you writers. Yeah.
Which is
enough
why
said.
Which
you guys is, hated it, and it showed.
Which is why Henry Cavill is the GOAT as well, because Henry Cavill is just he's a book nerd, amazing. But he goes into projects he likes, he wants to, and loves. He's also a Stormlight nerd. Did you know that?
I did.
Love Stormlight.
I did. He's also a big fan of Warhammer 40K, which apparently also dealing with changes to the lore, and people are not happy about that. Yeah. If there's one thing I know about Warhammer 40K, it's they like their lore. They care a lot about it. So that's the wrong.
Do you think we'll ever dip into Warhammer? Or...
Maybe. Oh my god, we have so many other things.
I know. But
we still got to get to Malazan. I think we got to Malazan. Sorry, Malazan first before we get to Warhammer.
Deal. That's a deal.
Yeah.
but what do you think about that whole point of? I mean, obviously, you agree with. The creator should care or be as invested as you are into the story. What do you think about from the creator's perspective? I mean, hey, can you get someone that's not as interested in the story, but it just wants to, or what do you think about all of that?
You can, and they can still make a good movie, especially. I think there's some stuff like, especially if the adaptation is more supposed to be an inspiration. So things like the difference between Seven Samurai and Magnificent Seven.
Wizards of Oz or Wiz, as you're saying, yeah.
It's that's a little closer at it, but is it? Actually, no, you're a lot closer. That's much closer to being correct, because I think there was more of a time where adaptations was taking some story that from a foreign context and translating it into a different location and different culture. And so you tell the same story in a different culture, and so it is vastly different. But ultimately keeps something of the same. With The Wiz, didn't keep any of the music, kept most of the characters, though characters were somewhat different. The message is mostly the same. But with Magnificent Seven, you have completely different characters, but still same number of characters, still same overall story of, you know, seven people coming together against magnificent odds to protect a small village. Ultimately, same story, but different context. And
more of an inspiration than an adaptation. More like, and I say this with kindness in my heart, I promise you, but Wheel of Time was inspired by Lord of the Rings and Dune.
Yeah.
Completely different story as it goes down the line. But talking about, it's not a... Magnificent Seven is a different example than that.
Yeah, because that's further. Because
it's taking literal story concept and just putting it in for a different culture.
The reason why I say, it's not really inspiration. It's those other things are adaptations because they take, like, heavily to the point of, like, it's the same story. It's just different context.
They're inputting different worlds and different characters and what they would do in this setting. Basically changing the setting.
Yeah, exactly. Because
what would they do here?
Is my personal favorite adaptation style. Like if I'm going to get an adaptation, I want that because it is fun. It's a fun change, but it can still be the same. So you can still feed me the same story, but I'll get something new out of it.
Yeah. Your whole complaint about if you're going to see something as a one-to-one.
Magnificent Seven is the best example because you have Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven, the original, and then you have Magnificent Seven 2016 with Chris Pratt in it, where it's the same thing, but, ooh, there's more explosions.
Hey, can you give context for the Seven Samurai to the Magnificent Seven? It's just...
fucking stupid. I hate it.
I feel like this episode isn't good for your cholesterol.
Probably not.
This was the wrong thing to do. But can you give context for the Seven Samurai versus Magnificent Seven of it is literal same story?
It's pretty damn close.
However.
Yeah, so Magnificent Seven is Seven Samurai going up against another army that is coming in to invade this town, and they have to, seven alone standing against an army.
Kind of.
And Magnificent Seven is... seven cowboys, seven outlaws come together, and they defend a small town against an army, basically. Same basic deal. I mean, that's it.
Right.
But, one's in Japan with samurai, the other's at Western. And then we get 2016 version, which is, hey, look at all these famous people. Why don't we put them into the same movie that you saw before, but instead of interesting dialogue shots with actual, you know, camera direction, let's just have, you know, cut shot to neck, you know, close up shot, cut to 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 explosion.
Can you grab me Hyperion right now? Where's Hyperion? Quick. Where is it?
What do you want?
Where's Hyperion?
No, I don't know.
Quick.
It's off the shelf. What do you want?
I'll look it up real quick. Hold on. Oh, you got it? You got it? Quick. Stat. let me get pretentious line. Okay. The hegemony consul sat on the balcony of his ebony spaceship and played Rachmaninoff's prelude in C-sharp minor on an ancient but well-maintained Steinway while great green saurian things surged and bellowed in the swamps below. Are you better? You okay?
I feel better.
Okay.
I feel better already.
Okay.
Oh, God.
You were getting like, your heartbeat was getting really raised. I felt the table go, and so, okay, just a little.
We raised the standard. I'm okay.
Look, Hyperion has no adaptation. You just have the book to love and enjoy. It's yours. Treasure it.
Never needs to be.
No.
I never want it to be an adaptation. Okay. Don't ever touch it.
Everything's okay.
It's mine.
Rich, you okay?
It gets to stay perfect in my mind. I'm just going to keep this right here.
That is one thing I'm a little concerned about with something with like Lord of the Rings and how there's going to be more adaptations one day. I mean, after...
Oh, they're going to ruin it. They're gonna poison that well.
Why did I go negative?
You understand? That was
bad. Wait. No, positive. Let me get positive. Let me help. You like Legos?
I do like Legos.
That's good, right? Thanks. Talk about that.
Nice segue. Okay, thanks, Kendall. I'm still working on the Lego set. Patron member gave us Lego set for our 2-year anniversary. Yeah,
thank you, Kendall. That was awesome. Also, if you want to join our Patreon.
Yeah, there we go. Nice segue.
Going back to adaptations off of that bit. Adaptations in general can be frustrating, clearly.
Yeah.
I think that we have been adaptationed out to especially, you know, there have been great adaptations, just not in the fantasy genre.
What have you actually been excited for adaptation-wise? Like upcoming, is there any adaptation you're actually interested in?
No.
I actually have one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What?
Project Hail Mary.
Yes, because...
Only because Ryan Gosling.
Your man
does no wrong.
The man hasn't
failed.
No, he hasn't. I am looking forward to that. But, Rich...
He made a weird Netflix movie.
Rich, though, that's sci-fi, not fantasy. Because I think sci-fi has done a way better job at adapting.
Well, yeah, normally... Because dialogue seems to be the problem.
Yeah.
For some reason in Hollywood, I don't know why. Loss of talent, poor economic, poor educational standards, something along those lines. Schools fail some students once in a while. You know, you don't need to give everyone a degree. That's okay. Other than that, sci-fi is normally about the plot, interesting story of the world, and normally you can adapt that, and it's fine if the characters come off as a little wooden, I think.
Uh-huh.
Generally.
Okay.
Like, do you remember Ender's Game for its particularly, like, amazing dialogue scenes?
No.
Not particularly.
No.
It's the concept, the plot twist at the end.
Ah.
That's what it's mostly there for.
So it's something about, what is it about the fantasy genre that just makes it so hard to adapt?
It's important for characters to be there. Like, it's already very ridiculous. Like, you're supposed to believe in a very ridiculous world. And then if they're already speaking in a way that nobody would ever speak, it makes it even worse. And then, of course, plot being normally bad. It's just bad. Bad storytelling overall. That's fine.
And the thing is, I will say, if I just watched the shows or the films a lot of times before reading the book, I think generally speaking, we'll enjoy them more. Generally speaking,
because you
don't set up an improper bar. This is your first introduction to the world, and you just judge it for what it is rather than what you want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, it gets back to what we talked about a lot before, is expectations making or breaking a story.
Yeah.
Because if I go into a book with expectations of what I think it's going to be, I'm going to feel a certain way.
And reading something beforehand, you're telling yourself, this is what I want to see. I want this on screen. Do it how I see in my head now.
And if it conflicts,
it's such a demand. It's such a demand. But what is the proper way to do it? How can you both read the book before and then go, okay, let me try to remove myself and go, this is a different thing.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, it's what you should do. The amount of hate that I am pouring on Hollywood in adaptations, yes, completely agree. But also, I have seen a ton of stuff on YouTube where people are like, the minute it differs from the source material, it's terrible, it's awful. Any change is bad. I'm not with that crowd. I'm not on that kind of side. I think some changes are necessary, and a change doesn't... I'm not immediately opposed to something if it's changed.
Well, changes can also be better, is the emphasis.
It can. It's rarer, but oftentimes it's maybe not better, but necessary.
Well, changes and additions.
Exactly.
Some of your favorite lines from Lord of the Rings come from just the movies. Like,
well, it's an alteration. So I know the one you're talking about of the very end. You bow to no one?
No, I'm even thinking, like, what is the introduction with Frodo and Gandalf? A wizard does not arrive when arrives precisely when he means to. It's completely just the film, but that is so Gandalf. Yeah. It's such a perfect line, and they created that.
Yeah, so I am not on the side of, if they make any change to the lore, terrible, not good, it needs to be one for one. I'm not on that crowd.
Mm.
But I am on the side of, if it's worse than the book, just copy the book, because they're not good. Like, that's the thing. If I have something to compare it to, it's not my fault. I don't know if that's... Is that my fault, that I'm comparing it to itself and the other versions better?
Rich, what advice do you have for yourself and for the person out there, then? How do you go forward and enjoy life?
Empty your mind. Don't think. When you watch a movie and television show, you empty your mind. You don't think about something else, and you just be in the moment and watch it for what it is. Sometimes it'll surprise you. Hey, I don't know if I like it as much as the book, but I think it was pretty good. That happens often enough.
I think you can go through life. So going through all stories, and even outside of stories, being a viewer, an observer, rather than a critic.
Oh, yeah.
There is something important to...
There's a lot of people out there that hate watch things. And they're watching something, and they're trying to hate it. I've done it myself plenty of times. Rings of Power was up there. Of, like, hated episodes 1 and 2. I think I watched episode 3. And I was watching it to hate it. I was poking it because I hated it by then, and I was not giving it any good graces.
You're just doing that for your own hate enjoyment?
Oh, yeah. Same thing with Wheel of Time Season 1 after a certain point. Yeah. It's like, I'm hate watching this now.
Imagine going through real life like that, going around and instead of observing the universe and going, look at these beautiful stars and this sunset and these architecture, this building, like, look at this beauty and magnificence I'm around, and you're just critiquing it, going, the stars are too small, the sunset's too yellow, the buildings are too square. Actually, buildings can be too square. That's a thing to... Buildings can be boring. You should...
Actually, yes. But don't let the truth get in the way of a good metaphor.
Of the point, you know? So yeah. Just as you're walking through this universe of ours, maybe it's more of a good point. Hey, this doesn't excuse bad adaptations or bad films and whatever that might be to you. People, you could still hate things and not enjoy it and then don't watch it, right? But it might be better to walk through things and just observe and be a sponge rather than being a little... What are those fish with the... They puff up and they... The puffer... Oh, puffer fish. What are those fish...
Were you having trouble with a puffer fish?
I was trying to think of like one with little spikes on it.
Yeah.
No.
It puffs up?
No. The fish that has little thorns and spikes everywhere. One of those thorn fish. One of those...
Angler fish.
The thorn fuckers. Those guys.
The thorn fucker.
Don't be a thorn fucker. Be an observer. What is going... We're off the rails
episode. I'll help you out a little pause.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our Lord God.
What a transition.
Our... from...
Go on. What's your point?
Our Lord Almighty God is a very generous being.
Mm.
Often, the Lord provides you what you're looking for. Mm. If you're looking for hate, if you're looking for disappointment, you're gonna find it. If you're looking for joy and you're looking for happiness, you will find it.
That's pretty beautiful. So, Rich, you know this. Like people, we've said this past, but you're agnostic, but you have a deep deep appreciation for the Lord
while being
an agnostic. I
have deep appreciation for the Catholics specifically. If I, as my friends have told me, I'm a Catholic without the God believing part. I just love the architecture.
The cathedrals are nice.
The aesthetics alone are enough. No better art. Like, I've gone through different debates and talking with people about, like, hey, does God exist? And plenty of great discussions that
very interesting.
None of them work complex. For me. The closest I come to God is walking into a magnificent cathedral and going, no, that this ain't just human. There's a little God added some special spice to this building. I get it. No.
Yeah.
And then you walk into like
a Denny's.
You walk into a Protestant church and like it's some like Protestant church that's attached to some Denny's. And you go, yeah, God ain't here.
You know,
God ain't here.
You know how that somehow loops back into this topic? Is the entire show Shogun, which you're going to watch with us. Remember to check the description down below. The entire show Shogun is about the Catholics being the bad guys and the Protestants being the good guys. It takes place in 1600s, is it?
Yeah.
1600s Japan, where the Catholic Church with Spain and Portugal have gone into Japan and they're trying to influence and take over. They're starting to build bases and ports and so forth and exploit Japan, and where the Protestants of England are coming over and disrupting stuff, and you just
they're being rapscallions.
So you're going, hey Shogun, no, the Catholics are the good guys. I know you're exaggerating, but yeah.
I'm exaggerating. Yeah. And you know what, Kat? I've been to, you know, plenty of Catholic friends. It's fine. You're welcome to believe in your, you know, less aesthetically pleasing faith.
You mean Protestant. You were saying Catholic there.
Yes. Yeah. Protestants. You're welcome to pray in your Denny's, but you know what? Maybe that, like, I get it. You know, the Catholics, they got a little too much into the indulgences. I understand.
We've got to do an episode offending every religion. We have to.
Oh, 100%.
Not every religion.
Every religion but the Catholics, because I respect them.
Okay, I'll do the Catholic
I respect
part.
None other one. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, but... we'll do all the... What are the sects of each religion?
Oh, yeah. I've seen some really funny videos on it. It is fascinating how many different groups. God,
we can do that as part of our diss track, because you know the whole Kendrick and Drake diss. Have you been familiar with the whole rap battles going on?
Unfortunately, yes.
You have. Maybe we can do a little one us back and forth, huh?
I personally don't, because that joke eventually is going to lead to me calling you a pedophile. And I don't really want to go down that road.
Oh,
that's where it goes.
Okay, the road ends at pedophile.
Road ends at pedophile. Let's turn left. let's cut it off at the pass.
Well, please. I will say our road turned from monetization about halfway through this video. We went off the road of monetization long time ago. Where the YouTube gods are unhappy.
Hey, look, if we were getting into this for just monetization, we would have done a YouTube
manga.
Or, like, not even... No, we would do, like, talking about Marvel movies
fucking
day.
Screw it.
Oh, my God! Marvel, they changed this character, and now it's ruined! And even though the universe has so many other... terrible! No! They're ruining it for the 50th fucking time! And I'm still gonna buy a ticket and watch it again... Yeah.
I'm going to put that clip next to you complaining about the Wheel of Time for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair. We all have our thing. I get it. I just, I just see the Marvel views and I go, this is stupid. you could watch one of these like hating Marvel videos. You could watch a video from 2 years ago and you lose nothing of substance. It's the same fucking video. They could re-upload them. It's the same thing. And I know me talk about Wheel of Time is, you could say, yeah, it's the same thing. He's saying over and over every video. I get it. I'm a hypocrite. I know. I'm sorry.
That was just a complete monologue. I think, wow, you made a lot of growth in the past couple minutes.
Yeah, no.
That's really good for you, man.
No. Growth implies change. I will not be changing.
No. But
I acknowledge I'm a hypocrite. I get it.
You're still the same. Okay.
But I'm still the same.
A lot of reflection happened.
Reflection. But not change.
No. Good.
No.
Good clarification.
that's important. I just want to clarify for people.
So what did we learn about adaptations, Rich?
Hollywood tends to suck at them. For some reason, Shogun is not sucking. And that's nice. I hope the book is as good as the TV show as it is now, if not better. If you want to watch it with us, you should check out Fable.
Yeah, hell yeah. Description below. But I think the big thing for us as well is what we've learned is every individual here, you're going to have the thing you're angry at. Adaptations are it's very hard to please. And when they do...
If you thought I was the curmudgeon on this show and thought I was real negative, be very, very glad that we didn't do a movie, like a movie podcast. That would be far more
negative,
pessimistic and negative. I like being positive. I like talking about things I like.
Yeah, well, you love movies. What do you mean? Just certain movies? Or
I like movies less and less now.
Movies
that come out.
Here's why I'm liking movies more and more. Maybe we can have a whole other thing on that. It's just the movies you select and watch. Because when you're watching the typical stuff that... here's the thing. You know the Oscar films we've been kind of watching a little bit more?
Yeah.
There's gems. A24 has some gems out there. It's just a selection bias. It's whatever... the stuff getting marketed a lot with the billions of dollars budgets maybe isn't going to be the best movie ever.
Yeah. Okay. Pop culture movies, I'm not a big fan of. Overall, it's normally very negative, but what can you do?
Rich, this has been, we're going to go to the hospital right after this. Just get you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be fine. I'll take my meds.
Guys, this has been another Tutor Ramble episode. If you couldn't tell, I was gone traveling for 2 weeks, so this is our first episode we recorded again in like...
I was venting my anger at you leaving. At the camera. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think we'll see them next week.
Maybe.
If not, you know why.
Bye-bye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.